How are you running? How are you running today? We had planned to take that passage in Acts chapter 4 about prayer. How the church is being a church. Being the church of Christ. And in that chapter, it prayed for boldness, for courage, and for conviction to the gospel that they would continue to proclaim. But over the past couple of weeks, the Lord has been putting on my heart, well, you have been a blessing to Diane and I. The Lord has blessed us exceedingly through you all. We love you dearly. And when I say you will always be on our hearts and in our prayers, I say that with complete conviction in Christ Jesus. Instead of taking that prayer in Acts chapter 4, I want to give you a blessing from Philippians chapter 1. Would you turn with me? Philippians chapter 1, and it's Paul's prayer for the believers there as partners and partakers of the grace of God. Seeing Christ exalted in our lives daily, in our worship, in our witness, our times of devotion, our quiet times, our times together in times of prayer. Follow with me as I read Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ to the glory and praise of God. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the living word, your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, for the new life that we have in you, not only individually, but collectively as a community of believers, as your church, your body, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for how you have showered your grace upon us here at South Mountain Bible Church, and how you have used each other, each one of us, to bless the other, to love one another, to serve one another. Father, Diane and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this, our church family. And we pray that, Lord, this portion of your word will both exalt you as our Lord and Savior, the Lord of this church, the Lord of our lives, but also that it will be a blessing to your people today. For it is truly with joy that I remember, and Diane and I remember, each and every one of them here. Thank you, Father. Now guide us as we look into your word. May it just so captivate our minds, our hearts, our very souls, that, Lord, we, your people, will be encouraged as well as exhorted by your Spirit through this, your word, for your glory and praise. Amen. Paul's prayer is actually two parts to it. One part is a prayer of thanksgiving. So I want to take a look, if you will, at the first part, and that's found in verses 3 through 5. His prayer of thanksgiving. He says, I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is praying with joy. There's three things. He's praying with joy. He's praying with confidence in God at God's work in their lives, but he's also praying with love. That's so clear in this passage that we just read together. But here, he's praying with the joy of their salvation through the gospel. You know, there's no other joy know the joy like the joy of salvation. And there's no other way of experiencing and receiving that joy and having that joy well up in our hearts and our lives and in Christ's church than through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not through all sorts of activities, but activities, nothing wrong with those. But it's knowing that you know the Lord as your Lord and Savior. Amen? And so Paul is remembering this with great joy. He's praying with them and for the joy of their salvation through the gospel. He uses the word of partnership in the gospel. The word partnership there is really translated from the word koinonia, which means can be translated fellowship or partnership. It's the idea of sharing together. And that's exactly what they did do when Paul was there. But even when Paul was not there and in a Roman prison, they were still in partnership, in fellowship in the gospel. So no matter where we are, we're in that fellowship of the gospel. And with joy, we remember and pray for each other. Joy for their salvation through the gospel. Take a look at what the Lord Jesus Christ, as he clearly defines the fact that there's no other way of receiving this joy except through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice what he says here in John 15. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That's the Lord's desire for all of us. For us together too as a church. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. A part of the blessings and benefit of the gospel of new life in Jesus Christ is the fact that we can pray together. Amen? And there is joy, too, in knowing that our prayers are heard and they are answered. And with great joy, the Lord answers those prayers according to His will. But sometimes we lose a sense of that joy. Have you been there? I have. Sometimes we lose a sense of that joy of our salvation. And David, he lost a sense of that joy there in Psalm 51. Notice what he's saying. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And David's prayer there in Psalm 51, as he makes that confession and he repents of his sin, he realizes that he's lost that sense of joy. And sometimes we do that too. What will cloud that joy in our hearts is unconfessed sin. Sin that can rob us of that joy, can take over our thought life, can take over our aspirations and our dreams. Unconfessed sin can take over our life itself. And so Paul was rejoicing with them because it's through the power of Christ and the gospel that you and I can have that joy restored again. There is that renewal that Christ brings to the believer in Christ Jesus when we've drifted away, when that joy has been clouded by whatever, most likely sin though, but that renewal and that refreshing joy that we have in Him. But not only did he have that joy for their salvation through the gospel, but he had their joy for their fellowship in the gospel. He uses that word and translated here in the ESV, partnership, and they were in partnership with him. As Paul was sharing the gospel there in a Roman prison, he knew they were sharing the gospel there in Philippi. And so here, 1 John, of course, reminds us again that fellowship we have in Christ is our fellowship together. It's one of joy. So that you may be, that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, that we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. A joy in sharing the gospel together and the blessings in our fellowship together, but also sharing of the gospel with others who are yet to believe. There's a real joy when we see men and women and boys and girls come to know Jesus Christ. I'm sure that Camp Teeter was just overflowing, overflowing with the joy of salvation this past summer. Dr. Dan shared it was a great summer, not only with the teen leaders, but the many boys and girls that came to know Jesus Christ. That's the joy of the gospel. And you and I are participant. We're partnership with that. Many other areas too. Many other mission outreaches that you and I are part of. And that's one thing that South Mountain Bible Church has always been. It has missions for a heart. The commitment that the South Mountain Bible Church family has to missions. And you've experienced the joy of the gospel. In partnership with many missionaries in our missionary family. And God in His faithfulness has allowed and enabled South Mountain Bible Church, just think of this, to be faithful in the fellowship of the gospel all around the world. But not only was he praying with joy, but he also was praying with confidence. Take a look at verse 6. With confidence in God's gracious work of salvation. He says, I am sure of this, I'm confident of this, that he who had begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that God's good work in us continues. God doesn't stop. He's working in you. He's working in me. He's working in us together. Amen. Aren't you glad? It's his work, and it's a good work. It's a work of God's grace. And take a look at 2 Corinthians. What is it all about, this good work that he's working in us? Take a look. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Yes, it's a good work. It's a work of God's grace in your life and my life, conforming us, transforming us into the image of Christ. But it's not only God's good work in us, but it's also God's good work through us. And so Paul was confident that that which God had began in their lives and what God has begun in our lives as a church family, he's going to continue not only in our lives but through our lives too with the gospel. Take a look, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. And so Paul could pray with joy in their partnership, their fellowship in the gospel. A gospel experience and share together, but also the sharing of that gospel with others who yet to believe in Christ. He was praying with confidence too, knowing that that which God has begun in them, he will bring to completion. Praise God! You know the best is yet to come. Aren't you glad? Yes! And it's because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He continues to work that good work in your heart, in my heart, in our hearts together. And though Bill and Diana Gray leave and they're going down south, God is still working. Aren't you glad? And he's going to be working in our hearts down there, and he's going to be working in your hearts up here for the praise of his glory, the praise of his grace, the exaltation of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Absolutely. And so we have him not only praying with joy and with confidence in the work that God has begun, he'll bring to completion, to perfection, but also praying with love. Praying with love for all partakers of saving grace. Take a look at verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you. Well, how's he feeling? He loves them. There's no doubt about it. Paul loves the believers there in Philippi. Because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. They were together as partakers of grace. And Paul loved them, and he knew that they loved him. Many ways that they expressed their love to him. Of course, they were praying for him, that he would be delivered and he would be released from prison. But if that didn't happen, that God would use him. They loved Paul, and Paul, they knew that he loved them, because it was a new commandment that we have as Christians. Yes, God tells us, indeed, we're to love God with all our hearts, minds, and souls. Amen? We're also to love our neighbors as ourselves. Sometimes that gets a little difficult, but even more difficult, Jesus Christ, with a new commandment, says we're to love one another as Christ loves us. Wow. God enables us to do that. A new commandment to love one another, but also a new capacity to love others as partakers of grace. You know, it takes love. It takes the grace of God to love others as Christ loves us. He loves all sinners. He loves all losers. He loves all the hard-hearted. He loves all the unlovable. Putting it shortly, he loves us. Right? Yes. But in that loving work of his grace and salvation through Christ alone, the Holy Spirit pours that godly love, that agape love into our hearts, so that we can love one another. And you have not only loved Diane and I as your neighbor, but you have loved us as Christ loves you. And we likewise love you as Christ has loved us. You see, that was the motivation, I believe, for this letter that he wrote. The love of Jesus Christ and the love for Christ own. Yes, he could pray a wonderful prayer of thanksgiving with joy, with confidence, but also with love. Then there's something else, because this prayer quickly becomes a prayer of petition, from thanksgiving to requesting. A prayer for continued growth into Christ-likeness. Verses 8 through 11. There in your outline before you, it says, he's praying for spiritual growth and maturity in Christ. That's for verses 8 through 9. And take a look, if you will, in your outline. For God is my witness. How I yearn for... Those are words of love, if you will. Love and commitment. He says, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. The agape love with knowledge, knowledge of God, knowledge of God's ways, knowledge of God's Son. Not about Him, but knowing Him. Knowledge of each other and our needs as we pray for one another. Knowing God's way. But also with discernment. Not only knowing the truth, but discerning how we are to put that truth into our daily lives every day. So Paul was praying for their spiritual growth and maturity in Christ. Notice he's praying with a strong desire to see others grow in Christ. And that's our desire too. I can remember visiting different ones and praying together and hearing your prayers for your children, hearing your prayers for your grandchildren, that they would know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would grow in Christ, that they would mature in Christ. Yes. Those are the prayers that the Holy Spirit moves upon within our hearts and our souls to pray. To pray for others and to pray for one another. And Paul, his yearning and loving prayer for a strong desire to see others grow. Take a look at Ephesians. Same expression, if you will, his love for those in Ephesus. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is ahead, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together in every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Paul was praying for their spiritual growth and maturity in Christ, as we pray for spiritual growth and maturity in Christ also. As we pray for our children, our grandchildren, and yea, even some of you have great-grandchildren. Isn't that neat? Yeah, what a prayer list you have! Well, what a loving prayer list indeed. So he prayed with strong desire to see others grow in Christ. Notice Peter says the same thing, the same desire, the same yearning to see other Christians grow and mature in Christ. Peter writes, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. But also, there's something else. Putting that desire into prayer and practice. That's important. It's one thing to pray for spiritual growth and maturity in our own lives, and in the lives of our family and our church family. But how do we put that in practice? How do we encourage one another in word and deed? How do we come alongside one another? And you've been doing that over the past 9 years in our lives. You really have. And we've seen you're doing it in the lives of other brothers and sisters in Christ in our church family. You have evidenced that love of Christ and that desire you have that we would grow together and mature in Christ's likeness. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists and the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We're being equipped, aren't we? Every one of us. For the building up of the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what God is doing. And He's not stopping until the day of Jesus Christ. But there's something else too that Paul in his petition on behalf of those whom he loved there in Philippi, he also was praying for their moral excellence and living righteously. Take a look at the verses 10 through 11. So that you may approve, that word approve is a word that, so that you may test and distinguish between right and wrong, truth and falsehood. But you may distinguish that which is excellent, the excellencies of God in the lives of His children, the excellencies of Christ in the life of the church. It's not a club. It's not a club. You know that, and I know that. Aren't you glad? You know, people can come and go, and they can chuck it in, you know. It's not a club. The body of Christ. It's a community of believers that with joy and with confidence and with love, we pray for one another, just like Paul. And we pray for one another, too, for that moral excellence and righteous living, the evidence of that new life. So that, he says here, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ. Discerning and pursuing moral excellence before God and others. That's important in the spiritual walk that you and I have as maturing believers in Christ, as disciples of Christ, isn't it? That pursuing that moral excellence before God and for others, especially our family, especially those who are near and dear to us, because they often see us the times that others don't see us. You know what I mean. And so Paul was saying, I'm praying for you there. I'm praying that you indeed are discerning and pursuing moral excellence in your life. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Notice that word there, training, discipling, disciplining, if you will, us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Now, that was part of Paul's petition on behalf of the loved ones there in Philippi. But not only discerning and pursuing moral excellence as all we all should do, before God and before others, but producing the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness. Doing that which is right and making that decision not to do that which is wrong. It's twofold, isn't it? It's a cutting edge, a two-sided edge. Deciding and determining that I'm not going to do that which is wrong. I'm going to do that which is right and righteous in the eyes of Christ because I'm in Christ Jesus. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And you know, because we represent Jesus Christ, don't we? But also because we're part of God's family. And one of the ways that we, as brothers and sisters in God's family, we reflect the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so it is indeed pursuing moral excellence before God and before others, but it's also producing the fruit of righteousness. Let me give you an example of the fruit of righteousness here in 2 Peter that you have. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. That's not just a list. You know, we could go to the fruit of the Spirit too. Love, joy, peace, and all the fruit of the Spirit. And Peter's saying, you know, that you grow. Peter's saying the same thing that Paul is saying. But you know, they're both saying the same thing that Jesus is saying. Isn't that neat? Yeah. Because he's the one that's at work in us, both to will and do his good pleasure. The choices we make are important every day. That we would pursue individually moral excellence before God and before others. And that we would see the Holy Spirit together with the Word of God that feeds our hearts, our minds, our souls to produce the fruit of righteousness. You're doing that. And Paul's praying. And we are praying together. Do it more and more. You see, we can never be satisfied where we were yesterday. Are you satisfied where you were yesterday? I don't know where you were yesterday, but but you know what I mean in your spiritual walk with the Lord. And that's why it's always a growing experience. But sometimes we get stale. Sometimes we stagnate. I've been there. And my prayer is that you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we have learned to love and worship together and witness together and minister together, that we would never, never stagnate, but that we would press on. I believe with all my heart that this transition period that we are going through together with you, because you are in our prayers and on our hearts and always will be, but I believe with all my heart the best days for South Mountain Bible Church are coming. I believe that. And those who are used to attend South Mountain Bible Church will start to be coming back. And those who heard the gospel in Vacation Bible School, in Good News Club, in the youth group, and made a decision, and some of you are here today, this morning, I thank the Lord for you. I mean that with all my heart. And I know that God is not going to let you go. And God is going to bring you in, into His family. Not just into a building. Please, don't think it's a building. The church is a body of Christ. And so that you and I, and as you pray for one another, and as we pray for each other too, that we could pray with joy, with confidence, with love. But also setting our petitions before our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, that we press on in spiritual growth and maturity. And that maturity means moral excellence and the fruit of righteousness, but there's something else too. Take a look, if you will. Praying for the greatest goal and objective. And this is the greatest goal and objective for your life, for my life, for the life of South Mountain Church, for the life of the body of Christ around the world. The greatest goal and objective as we pray, as we work, as we labor in Christ Jesus, is for His glory and for His praise. That's what Paul, and that's why Paul ends his prayer of thanksgiving and petition to the glory and praise of God, seeking God's kingdom and glory in all things. Take a look at the verse, 1 Corinthians. You know what that covers? Well, just going to church, of course, Bill. No, it covers more than that, doesn't it? Take a look at that. The greatest goal and objectives covers everything in our lives, individually and as a church, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our families, and even down to some things that we think are so mundane, like eating and drinking. Notice what he says. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Amen. Just think of that. We're going to be eating. Aren't you glad? I am. I'm looking. We're an eating church. You got to admit that, okay? And we're going to do it to the glory and praise of God. Amen? But Paul, he didn't just tack that on like yes and like a little P.S. No. He's saying, the reason I'm praying this prayer of thanksgiving with joy, with confidence in Christ and God's work in you, with love for you, and these petitions I'm laying before the throne of grace, is all for God's glory and for His praise. Join with me in prayer. Father God, we thank you that we together as a church family can be in fellowship, we can be in partnership with you in the work of the Holy Spirit, in the ministry of the gospel. It's ministry within our lives individually and collectively as a church family, but also the ministry of the gospel to those who are yet to believe and to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray right now, I would be remiss if I didn't pray for all who are in this auditorium, Father. If there's anyone who's heard the gospel and yet has turned their back, I pray, Father, you'll turn them around. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here who's made that decision for Christ when they were younger in Good News Club and youth group or whatever, Lord, I pray that you'll bring them, draw them to yourself today, that today would be a day of rejoicing as they repent and come to you in faith, believing. And Lord, that the joy of their salvation in Christ Jesus would just overflow in their lives so that their loved ones and their friends would notice something's different. And Lord, thank you for that difference. Lord Jesus, thank you, for you have made that difference in our lives individually, and especially as a church family. You have made that difference for the glory and praise of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.